coming to you live from our radio and television studios in beautiful Northwest Pennsylvania. What do you think, folks? What do you think? Well, see, if you're listening to this and can't see it, oh, you're missing it. We're all blinged out here. Well, that's the wrong term, I guess. We got the caps. We got the caps. What do you think? Did we look good in them? Do I look good? Should I wear a cap from now on? Well, Joe, you wear baseball caps. I don't normally wear baseball caps, but how does it look with the suit? What do you think? Huh?
Looks good.
Our guest tonight, and talking about current events and other issues, a number of other issues, important issues, topical issues, is Coach Dave Dobmeier, somebody I like to call America's coach. He's a guy I would go into battle with, I would go into the game with. Put me in cold, Coach. I'm ready to play. That's right. I'm ready to play. And see, America, aren't Americans, Joe, aren't we looking for a leader? Isn't that what Trump is about? We're looking for a strong leader, but you know what? See, people are looking for a political leader as opposed to a strong spiritual leader, you know, somebody who knows, or for example, who knows what's important in life, who knows about really conservative causes and spiritual causes. Because as Steve Quayle says, there are no political solutions to spiritual problems. You can't have that. We have to fix our own house before we can fix mm-hmm. others. And so we're really...
It's more than just morality. It's the spiritual aspect of morality. And we see that is being bankrupt in our nation. And it's going at a breakneck speed and continues to do so.
And you know what? Coach Dave Dobmeier's got a great... interactive show in the morning. It's a meeting. It's an interactive live huddle Monday through Friday at 7 o'clock in the morning, every Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. You go to ptsalt.com, and you can see. In fact, it's playing right now. The introduction to that. But Coach, are you there?
Doug, and Joe, man, it's always good to be with you guys. I just kind of sitting here to. Think like listening to you guys is like pulling up a chair outside at a picnic table and just listening to some guys ramble on. And I wanted to push my buzzer about four different times and comment on things that you were talking about. And just want to salute you guys that you have such a great feel on really what's going on. So many don't, Doug. So many people don't, and I'm not claiming that I do. But you know, I had a great conversation today out of the blue. I heard from Pastor David Lankford. He and I communicate, but not regularly. I don't speak to him often on the phone. And he called, and we had about a 10-minute conversation, Doug. And I swear, he and I have been sharing a bedroom. I mean, it was like unbelievable the things that Pastor David shared with me. That, you know, I'm banging my self upside the head. Thought, my goodness, I thought I was the only one. I was thinking this way. And you know, we live in amazing times, brother. And I'm encouraged. Is it okay to say that when you know, everybody gets accused of fear porn and everything going on? I'm like a football coach chomping at the bit to get into the big game. You know, we've been practicing for the big game all summer. We went through two-a-day practice and weightlifting and preseason running, and man, now we've made it through a few days of practice, and we're just a couple days away from the big game. And I've got that anticipation inside of me, and I'm excited, brother. And I think something is about to break. And I don't know if it's going to be good or not, Doug, Joe. I mean, at least in the natural, I don't think it's going to be good. But I think ultimately it's going to be really, really good. And I'm just excited to be part of the team that I think the Lord's putting together.
Well, Coach, we know how the game ends. But there's quite a few plays and some time left in the quarter before we get to the end. So, you know, we have to play our positions, and we have to play them well. And, you know, as you often say, sometimes all it takes is just to show up. Sometimes, yeah. I mean, we can win on the numbers. But, you know, you said you wanted to comment, or you felt like, you know, pressing the buzzer on what we were talking about the first hour. I think it's so topical here. Feel free to, like, chime in on what you were thinking if you feel it's still relevant. What are your thoughts about that? What's really going on?
You know, again, listen, for everybody out there that's listening to me, I'm a guy out here in the cornfields outside of Columbus, Ohio. I mean, literally, that's where I live. I'm not hiding from anybody. I'm not seeking any attention. I'm not trying to be a prophet or a son of a prophet. But I, like I tell folks, I can read and I can think and I can look at what's going on, and things just jump out at me that just, the devil's showing his hand to us, Joe. Doug, it's showing his hand. And all this training and all the nights of listening to Hagman and Hagman. By the way, last week listening to Paul McGuire is really good, and Ted Brewer. Oh my goodness, you guys, those guys are really, really slicing and dicing and cutting it open. And I thank you for having them on and exposing so much of us to the truth. But I've been saying it's been really impressed upon my heart for over a little over a year, Joe. Doug, we're seeing without question. Hillary Clinton is being demonically protected. Demonically protected. And the stuff that she's doing, the stuff she's getting away with, you know, anybody that has any spiritual discernment, they sit back and look at her and see what she does. I mean, I don't know anybody. I don't know anybody could support her. I mean, I don't care who you are, how anybody could support such, probably the greatest political miscreant, certainly in our lifetime. The stuff that she has done in office, if your local mayor or your local sheriff did anything even remotely resembling to that, the community would be up in an uproar. Yet this is major thing after major thing after major thing, and there seems to be absolutely no response to it. In fact, I'm sure you guys were saying at the top of the show, is there somebody that can do something? Ain't about time somebody done something? And that tells me, Doug, that there's a reason why something isn't being done. And I like to look at it from a spiritual standpoint. If I can just go for a little walk here, here's the way that I see it. And again, folks can kind of catch some of this stuff on our morning show, which is archived there all day. It's all free. Everything, they can go at CoachDaveLive.com. It's all there. I've been trying to help people understand that so much of what's happening around us is happening, first and foremost, in the spiritual realm. That's what I love about your show, the variety of guests that you have on, the different perspectives that they bring. And I would credit the Hagman and Hagman Report for going a long way to opening my eyes to many things that are happening. But we've become convinced so much in Christianity today, Doug, that I really believe that the average Christian, their faith goes no farther than either the altar of the church or the front door of the church. Other than that, they see no spiritual significance to what's going on around them other than that. We've done such a horrible job, our churches have done such a horrible job of personalizing the devil. And by that I mean, for the average Christian, I'm talking about Christians now, the person that's not a Christian, a saved person, they think you're crazy when you're talking about this. But for the average Christian, church-going Christian, person who claims to know Jesus Christ, the devil really is nothing more than just a mean old guy who piddles sometimes in their finances. He piddles a little bit with their health. He messes around, causes roadblocks with their children, and maybe gives you problems on the job. And we have so taken this great force of darkness called the devil, and we've reduced him down almost to just a mosquito, to be honest with you. We know that the scriptures tell us in Genesis 6, that he was an enmity. The Lord himself said he put enmity between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. That there'd be an eternal struggle, an eternal battle that would take place between those two entities, between right and wrong, truth and a lie, the devil, and whatever you want to. He set up an enmity between not only you and the serpent and the seed and the woman, the seed of the woman, but between his kids and your kids. Now, Doug, Joe, who tells us the devil has kids? The devil has kids. The devil has a team. Mm-hmm. And I'm promising you, Lucifer, Satan, Beelzebub, whatever name you want to call him, he ain't sitting around trying to mess up my life. Now, I open portals. I give him opportunity to influence me. But I'm telling you, he's got far bigger fish to fry than just messing with little old me. I'm not saying there aren't spiritual attacks that come. That's not what I'm saying. But what we are seeing happening right now, I really, really believe, is this whole idea of the... Hey, Doug, I used to be one of those guys who laughed at the New World Order and the Bilderbergers and the Illuminati. I used to laugh, you know, conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hat. I used to laugh at all that. Till I just began to study it a little bit and begin to connect the dots and begin to look around and say, my goodness, there is something seriously amiss. And I realized, I think it was about 6 or 7 years ago, came to the realization that if God is all-powerful, magnificent, all-good, oh my goodness, the goodness of God, we can't even understand. Well, Newton said, for every action is an equal and opposite reaction, and I'm not comparing the devil to God, to Almighty God. We know how that battle comes out, as you mentioned earlier. But if good is so deep and so pure and so far-reaching, Doug, Joe, it just goes to reason that evil must be the same way. And we have short-changed evil in that we don't understand. We don't understand that the devil, that spiritual entity, call him whatever you will, whether it be, you want to call it Nephilim, fallen angels, whatever, you can study all that stuff out, as I've been beginning to do, as a lot of your listeners have, and come to the realization, there's a war going on around us that is impacting the world in which we live. Now, I asked somebody the other day on my show, Ephesians 6 says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil spirits in high places. And I stopped him right there. So what does that mean? Was Paul just droning on? He said, evil spirits in high places. And the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. What's that? What is he talking about? See, Paul is talking about another realm, a realm outside this earth suit in which we live. We know from reading the scriptures that the only way you can enter into this earth is if you're a spirit with a soul. The only way you can get in is through a body. Jesus had to be born in here. He couldn't just appear here. He came through a woman, just like we did. And we were all born before he formed us in the womb. He knew us, and we're all pointed to death. And that there is this realm outside where we are living. Right now, I'm here and outside. I'm in my underground bunker in Columbus, Ohio, and you're in your bunker up there in Pennsylvania. There's a world around us, an invisible world that we can't even see. And I'm telling you, brothers, that those evil spirits are so manifesting themselves today. And the trouble is, those of us in the church, those of us who are raised up, we're the seed of the woman. We've been raised up to contend with this seed of the serpent. And Doug and Joe, we don't even know there's a battle going on. We think Obama's dumb. So how can he be that stupid? How can Obama, can't he see what's going on? I just want to smack myself in the head. Hey, look at Hillary. Oh, my goodness. How can she be so stupid, brother? She ain't stupid. She's of her father, the devil, and the works of her father she will do. So I think we're coming down to the two-minute warning here. And by that, I don't mean necessarily maybe the end of the age, because I don't even know what that's going to look like. But I'm no doubt in my mind, brothers, Western civilization, as we know it, hangs in the balance in the next short period of my life. I really, really believe that. And until the church Christians wake up, until our churches begin to preach that truism to the people in the pew, we're not going to be able to advance the kingdom of God. And I thank God for Doug Hagman and Joe Hagman and Steve Quayle and Russ Dizdar and David Langford and John Kyle and Paul McGuire. I'm going to leave out names. I'm not on purpose. But how each and every one of those guys, Josh Tolley, each one of those guys have built into my life just through the revelation that the Holy Spirit has revealed to them. Brother, and I'm so excited to be on this team and can't see what when the kickoff is and how this whole thing's going to unwind.
Well, there sure is an increase in evil in this nation from what we see coming down, being passed as laws to the morality of the people of this nation, you know, the whole transgender, the gender identity crisis that has been created in this day and age. And all these things are happening for a reason in this time that we are living, I mean, in the here and now, for a specific reason. And as you said, Coach, you know, a lot of people will attribute things that Obama does or that Clinton does or any, most politicians, as to being naive or stupid. But these people know exactly what they're doing. They have contingency plans for their contingency plans. And we can't overlook evil. The scriptures say, that not to, you know, just disregard all evil, but we have to be aware of the devil's devices. And we have to be aware.
The book of Jude, who, by the way, Jude was the half-brother of Jesus. He knew him pretty well. Jude tells us that we are to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints, for evil men have crept in unawares, and they've muddied up the gospel. And it's even though Jude was written, I don't know how many thousands of years ago Jude was written, it applies today. We can see all of this stuff playing out today. And I try to encourage those who I communicate with, Joe and Doug, to understand that the Bible, even though we like to call it the story of David and Goliath, or the story of Samson and Delilah, or the story of Daniel in the lion's den, or the story of Moses parting the Red Sea, we call them Bible stories. These are truisms. These events really happened. But the purpose of those stories in the Bible, those historical accounts in the Bible, are to give it to us as a lesson so we can understand how we need to apply those same principles in the time in which we live. Listen, even though my name's David, I have never taken on Goliath, but I have applied David's principles to the Goliath I come up against in my life. Do you guys understand what I'm saying to you? And we think about Samson and Delilah and that whole story, and even though nobody's really come and cut my hair and made me weak as a result of it, I can see how there have been aspects, periods of time in my life where that same principle of giving up something I shouldn't have given up cost me in the long run. And when we read the Bible, we do not read and teach the Bible to our children as spiritual truisms. This is what happened. Look at the part of the Red Sea being parted. God showed up. He doesn't leave his people unprotected. He took his people through. He didn't take his people out. And that principle, rather than teaching it to our children as a story, we have to teach it as a principle of life in this spiritual realm in which we live. I had a conversation with a young guy the other day. He's about 26 years old. In fact, we were going down to Louisiana to do some work down with the flood victims, so we had a lot of time in the van together. You know what he confessed to me, Doug, Joe? He said, I hate to tell you, Coach, he says, you know, VeggieTales ruined my faith. I said, what?
VeggieTales. Yeah.
VeggieTales. Okay. So what do you mean VeggieTales ruined my faith, your faith? He said, well, it made it make-believe. It just made it make-believe. And he said, even today, now I'm a grown man and I got a wife and a kid, when I think of Noah, I think of a tomato. He said, I can't get that stuff out of my head. And what it did, what VeggieTales did to me, is it made the truth of the Bible a fable, a fairy tale, a cartoon. And even though it's good to read those principles into our children, I'm not sure Doug were doing a great job of teaching them how that spiritual truism in that Bible historical story you just heard, how that applies even today in 2016. I think we really missed it. You mentioned it earlier. You know, we know who wins in the end, and that's part of the problem. Because we think we know who wins in the end, and we do know who wins. We think we're not required to do anything. And the time's going to come, brother, but I think that when the game's over, nothing worse, brother, to be sitting on that football field or standing on it. Look at that scoreboard and the clock's run out and you say, daggone, if only I had done this. And I think that's probably the thing that torments me more than anything in my entire Christian walk, that I missed an opportunity to make a play and didn't know it.
Interesting. Well, you know, I go back to your website, ptsalt.com, folks. Bookmark that website. Coach Dave Dobmar is our guest. But you write, not an organization, but an organism dedicated to restoring righteousness to America. You know, part of that righteousness that we're talking about, or that you're referencing, part of the, in CoachDaveLive.com, folks, CoachDaveLive.com, part of this righteousness is a strong foundation, a strong spiritual foundation. And so many people today don't have that, or have abandoned that in favor of a carnal lifestyle. Or even as a matter, I suppose, Coach, of misprioritizing things in their lives. And I'm guilty of that to a large extent, too, where, you know, my priorities sometimes get a little bit askew. But I think, you know, I think men in America, for any number of reasons, or excuses, I guess they're same things, excuses, push aside the spiritual in favor of the practical and physical. But we can't do that. So you're right. And then, as you mentioned before about the stories in the Bible, oh, they're just, you know, that they're just tales. They're just myths. No.
Yeah, and Doug, we send our kids to public school. They teach them science and history and facts and evidence. And then we take our children and our men, we send them to church. We teach them Bible stories, like they're fables, like it's Aesop's fables. And I really think that there are a lot of men who have really fallen into that trap. I was there, Doug. I was living my life like that, thinking it was all about me, and that the devil got up in the morning and he couldn't wait to attack me and caused me to have a headache. And when I came to the realization, it wasn't about me. It's something far bigger than me. It's about expanding a kingdom, and that we really are having a wrestling match with these evil spirits in high places. It changed my whole perspective. And to understand that here I sit in Ohio, and little old me, my goodness, when the Lord gives me the opportunity, I can make I can do something that can radically transform a nation. Doug, I believe that. I believe in my very being. In fact, if you give me a second, when the whole thing was going on with Kim Davis, we all remember that. And we were down there. It was about 15 or 20 of us. You know me, brother. I run to the roar. It's what I love to do. It's the way the Lord made me. And Kim Davis was on trial down there in Ashland, Kentucky. And we had a bunch of us down there. And, of course, the God haters, they were on one side and we were on the other side. And just doing bannering back and forth and preaching the gospel and living out my faith. And when the word came down that Judge David Bunning had sentenced her to jail, put her in jail for a week, no charge, no bail, nothing, just wanted, like Cool Aunt Luke, wanted to get her mind right, Doug, we sprung into action. And man, oh man, immediately we said, we can't let this stand. It was Labor Day weekend. It was about a year ago almost this time.
Yep.
We sprung into action. That was Thursday. We spent Thursday night, Friday night, handing out flyers at football games. We stood on street corners and we handed out flyers we must have handed out 10,000 flyers to people. Said, we're going to have a rally on Saturday morning outside the jail. Come and support Kim Davis. And we didn't know if anybody would come. And lo and behold, Saturday morning runs around. It's, you know, Thursday she's thrown in jail. It's Saturday morning. It ain't a whole heck of a lot of time. And we had about 1,000 people show up, just good old boys.
Wow.
And thought, man, oh, man, are you kidding me? So after the event was over, we said, well, what are we going to do? This is Saturday, Sunday, Monday is Labor Day. This is all going to get lost in the shuffle. What are we going to do? So we came up with a great idea. So let's go to Judge Bunning's house. Said, are you allowed to do that? I don't know, but let's find out. So we jumped in our car. We found out where he lived. We drove over to Fort Thomas, Kentucky, where he lived, and we went and we held vigil outside of his house and held signs out there and chanted at his neighbors, and the media came, and they covered it, and because it was slow news day, I get up on Tuesday morning, we find out Mike Huckabee's going to come to town and have a rally, so we're building towards that. And we get up on Tuesday morning, and I go to the hotel lobby to get my free donut and look at NBC News, whatever that's called, Good Morning America or the Today Show, and there we are. There I am, and there's Flip Benham. Now, you can't hear us. They're doing the talkover, but there I am holding our signs, and you know how they do the B-roll and everything? They go, my goodness, are you kidding me? This is Tuesday morning now. Huckabee's coming to town at 3 o'clock that night. You're going to have a rally there. So after I ate my donut, ate two of them probably, shouldn't have, and jumped in my car and ran over to the jail. It's about a two-mile drive over to where Kim Davis was. I came down to Doug and made that left-hand turn to the jail, and I was amazed, brother. At 9 o'clock in the morning, the street was lined with American patriots, Christian American patriots. And they were all holding signs. Our motto all week had been, courts don't make law. Show us the law or set her free. And this street was lined with people out there holding these signs. I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. And so we get down there, and there's thousands of people gathered, and they said it ended up being maybe 10, 12, 15,000 people came out to this little afternoon rally, and while we were there, they let Kim Davis out of jail. They opened up the jail, and she walked out while the 10,000 of us were there. And you know, Doug, Joe, that story took a total, complete change because 15 of us said, we're going to do something about it.
Amen, brother. Hold that, because I got some questions. We have some questions on the other side. You're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report. Very special guest, Coach Dave Dobenmeyer. Coach Dave Live. Stay right where you're at.
Here on the Hagman and Hagman Report. He'll be with us until the end of the show, folks. You can go to his websites, ptsalt.com or coachdavelive.com. Before the break, Coach, you brought up a number of things, and we're going to let you expand more into these areas that you want to get into. You said something that we've talked about a lot here on the show, that judges don't make law. And this is a very important issue that we need to discuss further in detail. And what do you say, though?
Coach, doggone it. A homosexual marriage is the law of the land.
Yeah.
How dare you?
They've convinced us of that, haven't they, Doug? They have convinced us. And I'm telling you, brother, when we were down there that day, by the way, I want to say hi to Greg Evenson. I don't know if Greg's listening tonight, Greg and Liz. I spoke to Greg the other day. He's a big Packers fan. And I love Greg Evenson. I love his family. I love him, his wife. You know, he's really been through it, and he's fighting his way through it and getting stronger every day. So, folks out there, if you love Greg Evenson, just throw up a prayer for him. What a great guy he is. My wife and I love both of them, man. Great people. Yeah. But see, Doug, I just got to share this story because it's just, listen, brothers, we have so little confidence in Christ. We think he's King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We just don't act like he is. We say he's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and we just don't act like he is. We say he's unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and he'll be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and of the increase of his peace there shall be no end. We just don't act on it. We say it, but we just don't act on it. It's been my experience, brother, that when you act on it, God shows up. So we're down there with Kim Davis. I got to tell you this story because I just love this part of it. When we were getting ready to go to Judge Bunning's house, by the way, the theme was courts cannot make law. Not only they don't make law, a Supreme Court decision is not law, brothers. It is not law. And we hammered that and hammered that and hammered that. And before we went to Judge Bunning's, I'm probably going to get myself in trouble here. I'm sure all those alphabets are listening to us tonight. Before we went to Judge Bunning's house, I called my friend and attorney, said, hey, what's the scoop? He said, oh, listen, you cannot stand in front of his house. You can parade it, but you can't stand there. So I said, okay. So we had our, about 16, 20 of us, and we go walk up over the hill, come right to Judge Bunning's house, and the guy comes walking down the hill and says, Coach Dave, how you doing? Shakes my hand. He's just kind of dressed like anybody else would be dressed. I'm thinking, well, this guy's, you know, he's seen some on the internet. He knows me. And then he starts talking to me, and all of a sudden I realize, wait a minute, this is a federal marshal. So I got a little queasy, think, how does this guy know I'm who I am, you know? But anyway, they said, listen, go ahead. You can stand, you guys can stand right here, yada, yada, yada. They let us stand right in front of that judge's house for 6 hours when our attorney said, you absolutely are not, you're not able to do that. And we did. And the media came, and they did the 5 o'clock clip and their 6 o'clock clip and their 5:30 clip, six different TV stations. And every time we'd go live, it'd be either me or Flip talking about courts don't make law, show us the law or set her free. And it was something that was really, really simple in the minds of people. You know, they started to think, you know, I remember my eighth grade social studies class. That's right. That's right. Courts don't make law. And once that cat got out of the bag down there in Kentucky, I'm telling you, boys, that cat ain't going back in there. They know down there in Kentucky, courts don't make law. So what we've got to do is we've got to awaken Christians in the body of Christ to understand exactly how our political system works. Homosexual marriage is not, nor will it ever be, legal in the state of Kentucky. So if Kim Davis, people called her a lawbreaker, and, you know, she needed to obey the laws, well, she dug. The only law she had to obey was the law of the state of Kentucky, which said by 84%, marriage is between a man and a woman. She was following the law. The judge was trying to force her to break her oath. And boy, when we pounded that message and that message got out, I'm telling you, it had a great, great effect down there. So I'm trying to encourage people to understand that if we will stand on truth, speak the truth, don't be afraid of what's going to happen to us. I've been a lot of better Christians than me, better than you and Joe, who ended up in the slammer. That's not the worst thing that can ever happen to you. If, as my buddy Flip Benham says, sometimes the Lord puts you in a jail ministry. We can't worry about that. We have to stand up and speak back against these forces of darkness that are, in fact, in control of our government. And I said earlier that we are in a battle for Western civilization. And Doug and Joe, if America goes down, if Christian America goes down, brother, this whole New World Order thing, call it whatever you want to, it will come sweeping over like a tidal wave. And the only thing holding that back is Christian believers in America who are standing up and pushing back.
That's, you're right on the money, Coach. And I'm going to ask you a further question. How is that going to be possible when we see the decline of the church, an overall decline in the church, from, you know, Catholicism to all the other denominations we have here? At the same time, though, there is a remnant of people that are branching off from the church, seeing that it's not providing what it is that they are looking for in their spiritual life, and you see this, you know, resurgence of true Christians who aren't attending, you know, the churches, but the majority of churches are docile, have been disengaged not only from, you know, the world around us, but also from the very scriptures themselves. How can we get back on track to a point to where this doesn't happen, this decline of the Western civilization?
Well, thank God, first of all, Doug and Joe, for Hagman and Hagman. Because as I found out when we were down in Dallas, and as I found out when we were in Whitestone up in Montana, there's a big church out there that isn't the church, brothers. There's a big, big church outside the church. And again, I was pondering over a scripture that I've said many, many times. Sometimes, you know, you got to say a scripture 100 times before it makes sense to you. And it's Hebrews 10:38, I think. I could be wrong, but it's in Hebrews. Where we're exhorted to we are to assemble ourselves together even more, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, even more as we see that day approaching. And I was one of those church weenies. I thought that when the church door was open, I needed to be there Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, because, you know, things are getting dark and we have to assemble more together. And as I've progressed throughout my faith, I've come to realize, Doug, Joe, I go to church on Sunday. I hate to tell you this, buddy, I'm assembling with a lot of non-believers. I'm not assembling with the believers, not true believers. I'm not trying to besmirch anybody. Their eyes are not open. They don't understand. And then the Lord, the Holy Spirit, he just sometimes just touches a word, and he touched the word in Hebrews, and it was that word, assemble. And I thought, oh my goodness. And I remembered back to when my kids were young, we'd get those Christmas presents, those boxes, those toys, put it under the tree. And they would open it up, and you get in there, and there's a little thing in there that says, some assembly required. Do you remember that, Doug?
Night. Oh, yes, Coach.
That was like a devil's hell, because I couldn't put anything together, you know. But then I got thinking about that word. And you know what the Lord's doing? He is so remarkable. He is assembling together a body of believers. He is knitting. He is putting us in our proper positions and giving us the opportunity to be effective. When I start a football team, there's 11 positions on offense. There's 11 positions on defense. There's special teams, a bunch of different special teams. And we look at every individual player and say, you know what? There's a good right tackle. There's a good right guard. There's a good center. There's a good left guard. There's a left tackle. And we begin to assemble the team together. And see, you don't assemble a team together just by calling a team meeting and everybody coming, sitting, and drinking Gatorade. That don't make you any good. You have to learn to put the parts of the team together, help them to learn to play together, to play off of each other's strengths, to function together. And brothers, that's what's going on. And he is using Hagman and a lot of shows out there. Not just up to you guys. Dave Hodges. I mean, there's a lot of great shows out there where God is bringing these parts together. You know, we went down to, I don't mean to shift gears on you, but it's relevant. Went down to,
please do.
To Louisiana in the flood. It was worse than Katrina, Doug and Joe. I was at Katrina too. But we went down there just outside Baton Rouge, where 60,000 homes were underwater. We went down there 2 weeks ago. I'm going again this weekend, by the way. And I put a call out for guys to come. It was so unbelievable. Oh, I'm doing this on my little show, right? We need guys to come, Doug. We had 20 guys. Some flew in, some drove in, and we had a house that we could stay in. We were down there 4 or 5 days, and we were tearing out drywall, and we cooked about 3,000 hamburgers for people who had lost everything. And at night, we all got to stay in the same house. It was like church camp. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, Lord, what you are putting together here. If our eyes will open up and see, if we're looking for this big stone building on the corner to be where the Lord's going to visit, the Lord's going to, that's not where it's happening, buddy. But it's happening all across America as the Lord is assembling his body together even more as we see that day approaching. That's why I said I'm more excited now than I've ever been at any time in my Christian walk.
Okay, so there it is, Coach. You know, I think the question that was asked and answered by you so eloquently is the fact that, okay, it's not, what would the average Christian, what can we do to create this revival in America? Well, folks, Coach Dave is doing it. In fact, he's not only doing it, he's leading the team that's saddling for battle in this case. He's leading the team to do it.
Amen.
Like it or not. I mean, so how many people out there do you know, folks, who get in their car and say, follow me. We're gonna go to Baton Rouge. We're gonna give our assistance to the flood victims of Louisiana. And folks, this is what Coach is doing. See, you know what I think, Coach? You had a YouTube, I don't know, it was a couple of months ago. I'm looking for somebody else.
Yeah.
Wasn't that the one?
Yeah,
I'm looking for somebody else, or
I'm looking for someone else. Yep,
someone else, and that it was just like 2 minutes long, but man, that really affected me.
We're always looking for someone else to do it, aren't we?
There you go. But
we always are. And you know what happens? And I hope I'm not coming across as braggadocious or arrogant. I'm not, brother. I'm not at all. Just trust my heart. Those guys, when I got those 20 guys, and we got them down to Louisiana, and they saw that devastation. It's worse than Katrina. It just goes on forever. These were beautiful homes. These weren't shacks, Doug, Joe. These were beautiful homes where the people didn't have any flood insurance because it was like a 1,000-year flood. There was no possibility that their houses could ever flood. They ended up getting 3 feet of water in them, and we would go into these houses, and we would cut, and we would tear off 49 inches, four feet, 1 inch, strip everything down below it, take all that drywall out, pull the rugs up, and then feed them at night. And for the guys who went with me, some of them, the first time they had ever done anything in their life, I can't tell you, brother. It was like the movie Smokey and the Bandit. You remember when he's riding with Sally Field and they jump that bridge and they fly up over the top and they come down the other side, and as soon as they hit down the other side, Sally Field says, "I want to do that again. I want to go jump something else." That's what happens inside the heart of a man when he goes and lives out his faith. We're going back again this next week. Hey, Joe, Doug is sitting across the street for me, man. It's a long way down there. But the blessing that we receive, giving to others. See, Donald Trump has hit on something, but he's missed it. He wants to make America great again. That's been a good theme. But he can't make America great. The only way America can be great is if the church is great again. We want to make the church great again. If we make the church great again, the nation's going to follow. And we would go down into those people who had lost everything, cleaned everything out of their houses. And Doug, Joe, they were sitting around. One of them said to me, "Oh, well, Tuesday, FEMA will be here, and we're hoping to get some good news from FEMA." Well, you know what the news is going to be from FEMA? Got flood insurance? Nope, sorry, can't help you.
Yeah.
And so we were down there to lift their spirits, to help wherever we could. 60,000 homes. You say, what difference can 20 of you guys do? Nothing. Nothing. But because we can't repair all of Louisiana, does that mean we don't go help at all? And so these little towns we were going to, we were in Springfield, Louisiana. Doug, this flood hit. You live out in the country type. It hit places like where you live. It didn't hit big cities. It hit little cul-de-sacs where these beautiful homes were. And so there wasn't any real established anything that could rescue these people except the church. You know what the problem was, Doug? They weren't prepared. They weren't prepared. The church was not. The church is not ready for what's coming upon America. It's not ready. Now, there are a lot of us out here in the hinterland who are fighting, but if something breaks loose up there in Erie, Pennsylvania, tornado, flood, whatever it is, you're going to be disappointed to find out that the church isn't going to be much help to you, because they just don't even know what it is they're supposed to do. They have trusted in the government to be our savior.
That's right. I mean, there is no spiritual 911 that you can call domestically or terrestrially, I suppose, at this moment in time. People are going to take that the wrong way. You're right. Enough said. I mean, on my part, the church is not ready.
Doug, we would stand there. I don't mean to interrupt. Just when the spirit hits me, man, I throw it out there. We set up a buddy of mine, Rich Smith, drove all the way from St. Louis. He pulled this great big cooker that he had put together, and we got down there and we began. These people didn't have any. They lost everything. Supermarket was underwater. The dollar stores were closed. There was nothing there. And we went down there and we took 3,000 hamburgers and 3,000 hot dogs, and Rich cooked these things up in this great big old grill that he brought, and people pulled in. They sat in their cars and they would drive in, and we'd say, "How many meals do you want?" And we would hand out, we'd hand them 10 meals, or the next car we'd hand out 4 meals. And you know me, Doug, I'm standing there watching what's going on, and all of a sudden, boy, I got up on my high horse and I started yelling at our guys, because, "Come on, start praying for these people. These people need prayer. Their hearts have never been more open. Start praying for these people." And you know what, Doug? Some of them didn't really know how to do it. They'd never really done. See, we've been taught to keep your faith to yourself. I said, "Oh, no, these guys are open." So I set it up so when they drove through, Doug, on one side of the car, people were handing in food, and on the other side of the car, somebody had their head inside the car offering prayer. And in the 4 days that we were down there, over 3,000 meals that we fed out in this little country town called Springfield, Louisiana, not one person refused prayer.
Wow.
Now, we know they weren't all Christians. We know they weren't all saved. But we tried to tell them at this point in your life, quit looking at the government. It's time to turn your eyes to the Lord, because the God has more disaster than the federal government has relief. And if we don't get it right in the church, and we don't get our eyes back on the Lord, there are worse days coming to America than what we're seeing right now. It was a great, great growing experience for so many of us, Doug. We're going to go back, as I said, go back again this weekend. I raised about $10,000 last time to go down, and we spent every daggone cent of it in 4 days feeding those people, buying cleansing products and mops and brooms and toilet paper and diapers and underarm deodorant and toothpaste and toothbrush. They lost everything. And we were able to go down there and happiest time of my life, just spend $10,000 as fast as we spent it down there blessing those people. And we know that we brought them hope. Scripture says that hope deferred maketh the heart sick. A lot of sick people down there. And we brought them hope. And we're going to go down and help them and bring them some more hope this weekend.
How many people, Coach, do you think, and maybe this isn't a fair question, or maybe this is not even the correct question, but I'll ask it anyway. All of the people that you touched down there, I mean, you've lit some candles, right? You're
brother.
A heck of a big candle. So what did you start? I mean, my goodness, it seems to me that you would have started some sort of a chain reaction down there.
It's still going on now, Doug. That's why I'm going back down this weekend. We still have people on the ground feeding even as we speak. They fed 400 sandwiches last night. It's ongoing. And so we're down there. Now all the people, Doug, these towns are out in the middle of nowhere. There is nothing around them. And FEMA hasn't come in because flood insurance, for the most part, is a federal program. Well, 80% of the homes don't have any insurance. They lost everything. They lost their cars. They lost their furniture, their TVs, their refrigerators, their microwaves. They lost everything. And, Doug, they're waking up here a month later, and they don't have anything to replace it. And I can't tell you the number of women and men who, when I start, you know me, man, I stick my head right in the car and say, man, can I pray for you? Tell me your story. Can I pray for you? And, man, tears would just run down their faces, and they would just come out of them, the hell that they had been through. And I'd say, can I pray for you? And all, they'd grab our hands, and we would pray, and we would encourage them, and we would lift them up. And I can't tell you the number of people who said to me, you don't have any idea what it's like to have a hot meal. We don't have a microwave. We don't have anything. And we thank you guys so much just for the hot meal. Isn't that something, Doug? And so the church is missing all of this opportunity, even right now. And my cry to the church is, we better get ready, because it's coming. Whether it's a blizzard or a tornado or an EMP, whatever it is coming to a city near you. And the church of God, the children of God, are not prepared for what's coming, and we should be the most prepared.
Well, let me take this opportunity. Let us take this opportunity, if we may, Coach. I mean, you're providing really disaster relief services and taking the prayer to the people and bringing hope to the people of the flood victims. How can our listeners contribute to you, help you? Where do they go? To which website, and how can they best help you?
Well, thanks, Doug, for saying that. I never feel comfortable raising money, but I'll tell you this. You give money to us, and it goes to the people that are in need. You know, we're not mm-hmm. like the Red Cross. The president of the Red Cross makes $750,000, and all of these big charities, and brother, they're not down. They're not. I mean, they may be down there someplace, but they're not down there. When we go, we share the gospel. We share the gospel. We feed their physical body, and we feed their spirit. And we have a link right there on our website at CoachDaveLive.com that people can click there and make a donation for us. Like I said, we raised $10,000 in about 4 days the last time. That sounds like a lot of money. It is, Doug, to get down there and see what you have to do, you know? So if people want to help us, we'd love to have them help us. If somebody's out there listening and they would like to go, I could, maybe not this weekend, but we think it's an ongoing month-long event. Contact me. You can contact me right through the website, and we'll set you up. We'll give you a place to stay down there. We'll buy you your food. We'll treat you really good. We just ask you to just go out and help other people and be Jesus to them. And, you know, we try to tell you, you know, again, Doug, I call this Mercy Ministry. And Mercy Ministry is the easiest ministry there is to do, meeting the physical needs of people. Most people can do that. I'm more of a prophetic ministry guy. I'm more of a, I like to go, you know, I like to go to judges' houses, and I like to go fight city hall. That's where my heart is. That's what I'd like to do, go rescue babies. But you have to be balanced, and so we try to be balanced in both aspects of it. We have the prophetic, which I call the manly side of the gospel, the thus saith the Lord, and then we have the motherly side, which I call the mercy ministry. We go and feed and clothe, and both of those are the perfectly balanced view of what I believe our Heavenly Father is. So, for people who've never done anything like this, this is the easiest thing to do. It's easy to give away a hamburger. It's easy to lift somebody up when they're down. It's a good place to get your feet wet. So if anybody's interested in going, just connect me, get a hold of me through the website there, CoachDaveLive.com, and I'll get back to you, and we'll find you a place to stay and do all that stuff down there. But if they do want to contribute, Doug, I promise you this, we'll spend every cent of it on those folks down there, giving them food, getting them materials they need. We've been doing it for a month. They're feeding tonight. My buddy Rich Smith from St. Louis drove back there again last night. He's back there cooking burgers. He's cooking them tonight, and we're going to be cooking them all through the week and through the weekend, and we're just going to keep this process up till the Lord calls us away from it.
Have you been have the police, the authorities, you know, I don't like that word, but have the police, have they been okay to you, or has there been
issues? They have, because remember, again, it's small towns, and they're so happy to have it. And one of the crazy things that's going on right now, not so much where we are, which is in Springfield, Louisiana. This is all up near Baton Rouge. When Katrina hit, it hit a little bit farther south down in New Orleans. That's about 60 miles. Now they're having a little bit of trouble up there, Doug, if you can believe that. The authorities want building permits to repair these people's homes, if you can believe that.
Oh, man.
Is that something, brother? And so there, guys, like, I don't even know how to swing a hammer, you know, and I'm in there trying to put drywall up there, and they're upset that we're not giving them a building permit, and these people just say they just want their houses put back together, you know? And I understand the need for government, but you just run into that kind of stuff all the time, and it's frustrating, but it's part of the battle.
Yeah, and I mean, I can understand if you're, you know, building an addition on somebody's house,
putting in a pool.
This is
ridiculous. Yeah, but to think we got volunteers down there and they're holding it up because we don't have permits is, you know, that's, it is what it is. But hey, listen, brother, it's going to cause a great revival down there.
So, that's,
you know,
right.
I'd stick my head in those cars, and some guy would tell me, he would just tell me about everything he'd lost and his dog, and he'd just be brokenhearted. And I said, well, bud, let me ask you something. Would you like it better if you were gone and all your stuff was still here?
Wow.
And they would just look at me, and kind of a smile would come over their face, you know, and they'd say, well, you know, I never looked at it that way. I guess I did come out okay. So it's all perspective, isn't it, Doug? And if we can give them a little bit of hope and a little bit of help, we got a bunch of resilient people in America. And if we make the church great again, we'll make America great again.
There it is. Coach Dave Dobmeier is our guest. CoachDaveLive.com. Help him out. He's doing a heck of a job for the relief, the flood victims. Going to be right back. Stay right there.